Hey, what's up, everybody? Juan Martinez, a.k.a. Dr. Love.
And I'm Stephanie Martinez-Reyes.
And you've just joined us on This Is Real. Hey, everybody. Again, we are here back with you with This Is Real. Real people, real problems, real solutions.
Welcome back, everybody. We're so glad you're joining us.
And so I want to thank all the real ones for always tuning in, right? Because, you know, not everybody wants what's real. You know what I'm saying? I know when we was in the world, we talked real, but we gave, 99.9. We leave out that 100%.
It was,
you know,
real fake.
It was real fake. So it's really cool that you guys, continue to watch us and support us and subscribe and all that good stuff. So that's awesome. I don't even know if that's all the
and
things.
And writing us letters. Thank you guys so much.
Yes. Yeah. And you know what? I'm going to thank you because I know you had a rough couple of days, you know. She's like,
sorry
I'm
that
fine.
My voice is gone. I've just had a cough for a little while. So.
But you're here. You're like, I will make it. Yeah. She's like, I will make it. By the end of the show.
We were praying and I was like, don't close your eyes too long.
Don't close your eyes. No. And so I think, I don't know. I'm over here like, I'm good. But inside I kind of feel a little bit the same. But you know what? We are here because this is what God has called us to do.
Up,
so, you know, you got to show up and show out sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Hey, because that didn't stop us when we was in the world and we wanted to go to the club or wanted to go somewhere.
Yeah.
We went. It didn't matter. We were like, achoo. Pick me up at 9, you know, like we still went.
We're still going.
We're still going. So we do rest and take care of ourselves. But, you know, anyway, so today I'm excited. Let me tell you why I'm excited. Well, I'm excited. I feel like that word, every time I say it, I laugh. Because I think you guys made a clip of me a long time ago where I was excited.
I'm excited.
But I do get excited. It's the only word. I got to find a
it's
new
an
one.
Exciting gotta, life. It's okay. It's you don't life. Have to apologize.
Yes, yes, yes. But sometimes when I say it, I feel like I laugh because I feel like I say that all the time, you know, like too much. I'm excited about this. I'm excited about that.
We're excited today.
But we are excited because we have someone that everybody knows out there, De La Fe Testimonies. You know, it's, you know, I think they're trying to reach like a million testimonies. Mm. And so, you know, he's always behind the camera and all these testimonies, like tons of testimonies. I mean, there you could scroll and you see testimony to testimony. And so today we have him in the studio. What's up?
Yes, sir.
Hey.
What's going on, dude?
Man, thank you, Pastor Juan, for having me.
Mr. De La Fe.
Yeah, that's Come what on. They say.
That's what they say. So it's cool. It's cool that now we get to ask you questions, you know?
Yeah.
First of all,
come experience the love that will change your life every Sunday at Get Wrapped Church.
Visit us at 23221 Alden Westfield Road in Spring, Texas, 77373 for 3 services at 9 a.m., 10:15 a.m., and 12 p.m.
Not in Houston, not a problem. Join us for our online service from anywhere in the world by downloading our free Get Wrapped TV app or by visiting Get Wrapped Church's YouTube channel.
Also, be sure to check us out at Get Wrapped People on all social media platforms to stay up to date on everything happening at Get Wrapped Church.
First of all, explain a little bit, De La Fe. What is that?
De La Fe is, in Spanish, it means of the faith. I always had a desire to reach the Latino community because I was raised in a Latino country, in Nicaragua, to be specific.
Okay.
So when the Lord was giving me the vision for De La Fe, I wanted something that was good in Spanish and in English. So De La Fe was what came about, you know, through just processing with the Lord.
Yeah. And so if nobody knows what that's about, what do you guys do? Because I know the testimony of that, but what do you guys do?
Yeah, we have a mission to create the world's largest archive of Jesus testimonies.
Nice.
And so we've set a goal. We put a number to make it real to people, which is 1 million testimonies.
1 million.
And we're doing it in an unconventional way.
Yeah.
You know, we're used to testimonies being 5 minutes, 10 minutes, which is nothing wrong with that, you know?
Yeah, sure.
Testimony is testimony. But man, we really wanted to do something where people could sit down and watch somebody's life unfold before their eyes. Very much like when you read the Bible and you see David's life unfold through multiple books in the Bible, and you get to see the when he was growing up, you get to see the highs, the ups, the lows, you get to see everything, you know? So we wanted to kind of replicate that a little bit. I really believe the Lord wanted to give us a little piece of that in people's lives. And so we started doing long form testimonies, which could be anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour and a half of people just sitting down, sharing what God has done in their life, but also sharing those low points those things that people normally won't share.
Yeah.
And so God really gave us an opportunity to create a space where people can share their testimony in a very honest, vulnerable, transparent way. Mm. And so we're trying to record 1 million of those.
1 million of so real and raw, of correct. Real and raw.
Right. So it's very different if we were to say 1 million written testimonies,
sure.
or 1 million of five little bit pieces. We could probably do that very quickly. But 1 million testimonies of just raw, real.
Do you keep a count?
Of course.
Where are you at? What
oh,
number are you at?
Oh, man, we're nowhere near. We're probably at 172,000.
That's good. 172.
I wish.
172 people.
Mm. Yes.
Okay. Awesome. Dude, yeah. I really would. I mean, because I scrolled that joker and it seems like there's yeah. a trillion testimonies.
Yeah, no, it's only 172. You know, the only way that this is going to happen, one, it has to be God, right? I love what you guys say. It's not crazy, it's God.
Yeah.
Right? It has to be God. But the vision is to be able to have multiple production teams throughout the seven continents to be able to understand the power of testimony, to really understand why testimony is important, and then to also be trained to record it. And so this is not something that it's like, oh, yeah, we're going to do it here in America, record 1 million testimonies. No, the whole world.
At some point, you just want people recording everywhere and just sending it?
Well, yeah, we're going to train up teams. And they're not going to send it. They're not going to send it here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're going to have their own teams
yeah.
recording the testimonies in their own language. So we're going to be able to see testimonies in Mandarin, testimonies in Hindi, testimonies in Russian, whatever, like in all of these
really?
Different languages. And so right now we're in English. That's the channel that people primarily know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we're about to relaunch the Spanish channel.
What?
So we were in Puerto Rico and Colombia.
Hey!
Yes, sir.
I just heard Sarasa playing in the background.
Right there.
Come on, yeah, yeah.
No, Puerto Rico was a blessing to be. We're going to be back in Puerto Rico and go record testimonies in prisons.
I'm so sorry you have to go over there to kind of
do
the work
sorry.
Of the Lord.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's such a hard, you know, oh, Lord. You know, maybe some of our team, oof. We can go with you.
We'll have to sacrifice.
We'll have to.
And go. And yes, we're part of Colombia.
Yes,
you
Colombia.
Guys go to, please.
Well, yeah.
Well, how was Colombia?
We'll be a team there.
Colombia is Colombia is it's interesting. Colombia.
Careful, careful. Stephanie's already looking at you like Pastor Stephanie's like.
Yeah, no, go ahead. No problem. We're keeping it real.
Yeah.
Colombia, there's a very fake environment in Colombia, in the spirit. When I was out there. We got an opportunity to record some amazing testimonies and we love Colombia. We're going to be back in Colombia, but, there was what we saw specifically in Cali. It was that there was a lot of people kind of, what we would call fronting, you know, there was kind of like this, perfectionism thing. Like everybody, it's kind of fake. It looked like people were being fake. Like
yeah.
there was like this wall and there wasn't a lot of real.
Yeah,
and I was seeing that in different pastors and leaders that I was seeing, and I was like, oh, this is interesting. What's
That's
going
deep.
On here?
Well, we live in a plastic generation, kind of, like in
well,
the planet.
And you got to think, and people go to Colombia to get plastic surgeries.
Wow.
Like a lot of people, when we were walking in the airport, we saw people with bandages on their noses and different, I'd never seen that in any other airport. And like, it was a common thing in Colombia. So it was that I was telling my wife, it was like, man, we were seeing the physical manifestation of what's happening spiritually.
Yeah. Inside, right?
Inside
yeah.
is this wall, this fakeness. And so we're actually excited to be able to release these testimonies from the people that we recorded in Colombia who are Colombian, because they're being real. They're being honest and vulnerable,
wow.
sharing some deep things.
That's
and I do believe.
Like, fine. I'll record.
Yeah.
I'll record.
I do believe that's going to break off. It's going to help break off.
Well, it's
off
needed,
some of
right? The power yeah. of Jesus is needed everywhere. Yeah.
yeah.
Especially that because I think I saw something the other day where they were talking about, you know, just, I think it was in America, but they were just talking about being plastic. And what they were basically saying is that a lot of times pastors, even in America, you know, just the whole extra Botox and the
yeah.
extra
yeah.
everything, right? We're just going to leave that PG, but the extra everything yep. that, you know, are they secure inside was this whole conversation,
course,
right?
Yeah.
Are they secure inside? Because they have to try to be extra. Because it wasn't like even just normal. It was just all extra,
mm-hmm.
like super
extremes,
extra.
Yeah.
Extremes. That's the yeah. word I'm looking for, you know. But Yeah, so I think it's an identity thing, right? And just really being comfortable with who you are, right? Because, mm-hmm. yeah. I mean, at some point, it gets a little crazy. I mean, yeah. you could go out there and just see that it's a little crazy, right? Mm-hmm. But, okay, so all these testimonies, okay, because I kind of want to talk to you about your life, too. Because, sure. you know, we got to flip it on you. But, mm-hmm. You know, so you heard, because I've seen you do, I'm still in shock that it's 100 and something. You know, I really yeah. am, man. I guess Instagram and all that makes it look so much more. Mm-hmm. But you did testimonies. What is, like, some of the craziest testimonies you've heard? I'm pretty sure they all have power and they all have, right?
Of course.
But what are some of the your favorites?
Yeah, I guess that's a good way to start is and we were just talking about this mm-hmm. before we turned on the mics, is that the greatest miracle that anybody could experience is the miracle of salvation. The yeah. fact that somebody could believe that Jesus died on the cross.
Yeah. I know, yeah.
Okay. Jesus, perfect man, walked to earth, mm-hmm. fully man, fully God.
Yeah.
Died on the cross for our sins, for the forgiveness of our sins, shed his blood. Resurrected to prove to us that he was who he said he was.
Yeah.
Gave us the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. cleansed us of our sins so that we can have relationship with God. Like that in itself is crazy. Right. If you believe that.
Oh, no, totally.
That in itself yeah. is mm-hmm. crazy.
And it would affect how you behave.
I mean, completely will transform your lives.
Yeah.
And so I always like to bring that up to people that, man, if you believe in Jesus, that is the greatest testimony. I mean, that is the testimony.
Sure. Because we were joking about, like, I go, hey, you're going to share your testimony how you got yeah. shot 9 times. And then we started laughing. Yeah. And I was saying that because I think a lot of times when it, and maybe this is going to, because people send in forms and all that to kind of get, yeah. try to get the testimony done, right?
Yeah.
A lot of times people won't send their testimony because they think, you know, well, I haven't
gone through yeah, I haven't turmoil I don't have or gain.
Yeah,
or,
everybody yeah. thinks that a testimony has to be like, yeah, I fell 90 feet from a building. I mean, those
and
are cool.
I almost died, yeah.
Yeah, those are cool. I mean, obviously cuz it's like, what? Yeah. You made it. But the power is in what you just said. It's not yeah. really like in the whole, you don't have to be on drugs. It's when did you get saved? You could have been super prideful. You yeah. could have been a
yeah.
adulterer. You could have, there's like 10 billion things that could have happened. You did sin. I don't care who you are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're jacked up in need of a savior, yeah. right? Even if you have good morals.
Yeah. yeah.
Actually believe in. I mean, that is amazing. And with that, you know, we have recorded, I mean, some testimonies that I was like, whoa, like I've never heard anything like this. And so I wouldn't be able to say, honestly,
yeah, totally.
I'm really being honest. I wouldn't okay. be able to say that I have
well, you
like
gotta keep
any
it real.
Favorites, but we just created a playlist on our YouTube channel
nice.
That says, if you're new here, start here, you know?
Mm.
And it wasn't that we were putting our favorites. It's just, man, these testimonies will be great for you to start because it'll just, the gospel is so clear. But also the different types of testimonies will give you a wide range of a look
really
of what God is doing worldwide. And so we have one on there from Johnny Chang from California.
Johnny Chang.
He came out of Chinese gangs in mm-hmm. California. Mm-hmm. Powerful testimony because when do you ever hear about somebody from a Chinese gang believing in Jesus coming out of that, you know?
Yeah.
So you have Johnny
That's
Chang.
Cool.
We have Michael Wilder on there, the former Mormon. You know,
we want to thank all of our partners who support us. Because of you, This Is Real has a tremendous reach from Houston to Galveston and up to the Austin area.
This show reaches over 100 prisons nationwide with over 500,000 inmates tuning in weekly to hear the good news through our radio show and the Pando app.
To partner with us, visit juanmartinez.tv or download the free Get Wrapped TV app.
You know, devout Mormon from a devout Mormon family. His mom was a professor at Mormon College and radically transformed by Jesus. And he's testifying on there.
That's dope.
We put Raynard Duggar. Raynard Duggar was one of the first testimonies I heard. This guy murdered somebody, you know, 25 years, looking at 25 years in prison, gets out in 10, but in prison, gives his life to Jesus, has a radical encounter with God.
He's dope.
And I know him personally. And I mean, on fire for Jesus. So we get that. I also put one there of our executive director of our church, his name is Art Hayes. He grew up in church mm-hmm. his whole life, but he had a moment where somebody in college, in Bible college, challenged him because he was saying some things that were unbiblical, that were coming out of his mouth. This is a guy that grew up in church, and this guy challenged him and said, I don't think you're really Christian. You know, like somebody challenged him, said, I don't think you're really Christian. And it really cut him. It made him reflect on like, whoa. And he had to go back into the scriptures and realize, man, I'm prideful. Mm-hmm. Like, I need to repent. There's some things, you know.
Hey,
like,
that message, yeah, I hope you have ears to hear. Because I think there's a lot of people.
Beautiful testimony. So there's a variety. So I don't really necessarily have a favorite. And I mean, we just recorded one yesterday. Oh, man, we were in Dallas, Texas, and we recorded a testimony his name is Daniel. And his whole testimony, I honestly didn't read his testimony before we recorded. Sometimes I'll read.
Yeah.
We have a team that vets and does all the due diligence to make sure that the people that we're recording, we're supposed to be recording. And I didn't take the time to read his testimony. I just kind of showed up and we just, you know, in faith. And he started talking, and this is a guy who grew up in church. And I'm like, okay, surely we're about to get to a part where he cheats on his wife. We've recorded that type of testimony. People who grew up in church, we recorded that in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Somebody grew up in church, cheated on his wife.
Yeah, now I'm like, great.
So I'm like, I'm like, surely, okay, he's grew up in church. We're about to get to a place where something traumatic happens.
Dun, dun, dun.
Nothing. The trauma was that he started working for a church and he was burnt out.
Mm. Wow. Why do I feel real now? I just got hot. What was he going to say?
He was working in a church. He was burnt out, you know? And Jesus had to give him fresh revelation of what he needed to do in that moment.
Mm.
I mean, it's a beautiful testimony.
He wasn't resting.
Mm-mm.
In his soul.
Yeah.
Sometimes we think it's laying in the bed, but.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, the revelation he gave, it's crazy. He took it back to Genesis, talking about, you know, how we are to work, you know, as men and to sweat.
Yeah.
And then he took it to the tabernacle and he pointed to how I might butcher this a little bit, but the priest that would go in, they would have to put this little cloth so that sweat wouldn't go into the tabernacle. You couldn't sweat. It was this crazy revelation where I was like, whoa, in the presence of God, there's no sweating. Because he does it all. Mm-hmm.
That's super fire right there. That part right there.
So
that,
if you're burnt out.
Gerardo. We're going to make him wear a little thing.
We're going to know.
He ain't sweating up
we're
in
gonna
here.
We're going to know.
You ain't sweating up in the studio.
You're in the presence of the Lord.
We're like, hey, you're in the presence. That was good.
That was good.
Look, at part of the team, Gerardo, he's incredible. G, you met him, G.
I met G.
He loves to sweat.
Yeah.
You know, well, he doesn't love to sweat. I guess his sweat loves to sweat.
Oh, man.
So that's a good revelation for him.
Yeah. Powerful testimony. Yeah. So we're recording powerful, beautiful, incredible testimonies all the time.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Talk to me. Now, I felt like at that moment I got real serious and I leaned into the mic and I go, tell me about you.
Yeah.
Tell me what happened.
Yeah.
So what happens? Were you born in church? Were you raised in church?
No.
Okay. So you were wildin'.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
I didn't know that. Okay, talk to me. What happens?
Yeah.
What happens in your life? You have somebody in the studio, too, that you probably want to give a shout out to because you just got married.
Yep, a year and 6 months. My beautiful wife, Genesis.
Wow. Yes. Hey, you can't ever forget. She's going to always take you to in the beginning. When you look at her, you're like, in the beginning.
Can never forget. Beautiful name. I didn't grow up in church. My mom... came from a Catholic background.
Okay.
Alabare. No, that's not Catholic.
No?
No, that's Pentecostal.
That's Pentecostal.
Really?
Oh, Pastor.
Oh, man. Well, then our Catholic church was a little bit. That's what I learned.
Maybe.
It.
That's probably charismatic Catholic
Maybe
church.
Charismatic.
It was just Puerto Rican. So tenían que cantar. Okay, they had to sing something.
It was just in their blood.
Yeah, it's just in the blood. They're just singing. Yeah, but then get back to
Catholic. Right, exactly. Yeah. So they were Catholic. But really it was just tradition.
Yeah.
So I had an understanding of who Jesus was. From a point of, there's just a God. Honestly, growing up, there was no revelation of Jesus being God in my life. I don't remember ever thinking that to myself. There was no revelation of a relationship with God. And so I grew up just knowing that there is a God. So I was never an atheist. I was never doubting God ever in my life. I knew that there was a God. My mom taught me to pray the Our Father prayer. I only know it in Spanish. Padre nuestro que estás en el cielo, santificado. I know that. If you tell me to do it in English, I can't do it.
Really?
Only in Spanish. I probably should learn it in English, but I kind of like in Spanish. I want to keep it there. So,
Gloria.
So that's all I really knew. My parents weren't together, but both separated. By the age of, when I was 9 months, they separated. They met in New York. Mom went back to Nicaragua, so I was raised in Nicaragua until I was 8 years old, which is why I'm fluent in Spanish, why De La Fe and all of these things. I have a burning for the Latino community. My testimony really deals with sexual brokenness.
Really?
So at the age of 5, I was molested for the first time. Mm. At the age of 10, I was addicted to pornography. At the age of 12, I was addicted to 10 pornography, 12 masturbation, 14 having sex. It wasn't until 23 when I gave my life to Jesus that I realized that there was a problem. Mm. In my teenage years, it went from sexual brokenness, and that kept going. But then we started getting into some spiritual sides where I started experiencing sleep paralysis. And not understanding why I'm getting attacked in the middle of the night and I can't move and these dark forces and all of these things. I wasn't connecting the dots of what was happening spiritually. I didn't know that there was a battle happening in the spirit realm, you know? And so I asked my mom, I said, Mom, I'm having these encounters at night. What should I do? And she said, well, you remember that prayer, you know, El Padre Nuestro, Our Father. I said, yeah, I remember that prayer. She said, pray that. So I started praying that prayer. That was the first time really that I started to experience the power of God in my life. So 16, 15, I'm having sleep paralysis and I couldn't do anything, but I would remember that prayer in the sleep paralysis and I'll start to pray and the sleep paralysis will break off. I got so good at saying that prayer. I just got good at it. As soon as the sleep paralysis hit, I knew, like I was conscious. This is what I do to get out of it. I got so good at it that at some point I didn't have to say the full prayer. All I had to say was Jesus. And I would say Jesus and it would break off of me.
Wow.
And I was like, oh man, this is real. This is very real. At that time, I was also dealing with some thoughts in my mind that said that one day I would have to get married. One day I would get married. And then I would have to get a divorce because I would find out that I was gay. And the reason why I had those thoughts was because I was molested by men. Mm. I was molested by men and women. But the fact that I was molested by men, the enemy was using that to tell me, you wanted that. That was your fault. And because of that, you're gay. You just don't know it. Mm. And one day, you're going to get married. You're going to figure out that you're gay. And you're going to have to divorce your wife. I mean, this is a full-blown story.
Well, that's deep,
man. The devil was literally telling me, this is the attack. This is the plot. This is what's going to happen. And honestly, it would have happened. If it wasn't for Jesus, I believe that it would have happened. Because in those moments, I would feel so hopeless. There was nothing that I could do to stop it. And so what I would do is just shake it off. Don't think about it, right?
Yeah.
And so in this time, I'm also dealing, at some point I started getting into marijuana, tried psychedelics, I was very much into music. There was, a whole life happening.
Like singing?
Rapping. Producing.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Man. Wow. Okay, go ahead.
So there was a whole life that was happening. Everything that I just told you, nobody knew about. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Nobody knew about it. Nobody knew that I was molested. Nobody knew that I was having these thoughts. Nobody knew that I was addicted to pornography, to masturbation. Nobody knew any of this. My parents didn't know that I was molested until I was 23 years old, probably a couple of months after I gave my life to Jesus and Jesus began to heal my heart. Mm-hmm. Is when I finally felt the courage Well, the shame was broken off of me, right? And so there was no shame. The light of Jesus had hit my heart, had hit the darkness inside of me. And so there was no shame, and I was finally able to sit with my parents and tell them about what had happened. But that was basically my life, completely broken. Nobody knew. If you would have asked anybody about me and if I was okay, they probably would have told you, yeah, he's totally fine. He's smiling. He's doing everything that he needs to do. He's getting good grades. And I was completely broken. So at 23, I kind of reached the lowest point in my life where I couldn't, basically I couldn't fake it anymore. I came out of a 6-year relationship with a young lady at the time, and God used that to basically, I mean, let the whole, all of the weight of my sin just really come down on me. And so heartbroken, I knew I didn't want to feel that heartbreak, you know? I knew that the only way that I could somehow get through that heartbreak, because throughout my life, you know, I didn't even know it. I had been heartbroken throughout my entire life. My parents weren't together. I never saw them together. You know, being molested as a child, being really abandoned by my dad, though he was there. Mm-hmm. You know, he was financially there, emotionally completely disconnected. He didn't grow up with a father. His dad died when his dad got killed when he was 5.
Abandoned by his mom. So he was just reproducing what he knew.
Of course, he didn't know any better. You know, so I don't necessarily blame him for that. And so I was really broken my entire life, heartbroken, and didn't even realize it. And so when this heartbreak happened, it was kind of like just another heartbreak. And I just kind of got to that end point where I was like, man, I don't want to feel this heartbreak. And so I had to move back to my parents. I was living on my own at this time. I moved back with my parents because, I mean, the apartment got empty. The girl left. I was living with the cousin. My cousin left. God began to strip me of everything. And it was just me and my brokenness. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't handle it. I really couldn't handle it. And so in my dad's house, in the bedroom that he allowed me to stay, again, always a provider, who's always there. Whenever I needed anything, even right now, if I call him and I said, Dad, I need $500, he's quick to give it to me. You know, he's always been a provider. And so in that room, I cried out to God. I got on my knees, and it was a genuine cry out. I said, Lord, it wasn't even Lord. It was God, come into my life. I know that you're real. Change my life, transform my life, whatever you want to do. And it's so vivid in my mind. I mean, the lights were off. I was on my knees. It was dark. And I was just like, God, whatever you want to do, come into my life, you know? Completely heartbroken. And then I don't fully know why. I have my speculations as to why I pray this, but I prayed two specific prayers. I said, God, give me a church. And I'm assuming that I just assumed that that was the right thing to do, is to get into a church community. And also, I believe it was, I was realizing that all the relationship, the people that I had around me were no good, you know? Everybody was lost, mm-hmm. You know, the blind leading the blind.
Yeah.
And so I said, God, give me a church. And then I said, and give me a wife. And I think that in itself is still unfolding for me as to why, honestly, keeping it real, as to why I asked for a wife. Part of it, I believe it was obviously the heartbreak, mm-hmm. and just wanting to feel that love from somebody, wanting to settle down. I never had a life where I was settled down. Mm-hmm. You know, there was always things moving around, things happening. And so I believe that I just wanted to settle down, and having a wife was like that, you know? So I was like, God, give me a wife. Give
me
a church.
She's waving. She's like, I'm here.
Yeah,
I'm right here.
Yep. And within the first month, my ex-girlfriend's friend, she messaged me after I sent her a message about something, and she messaged me back and she said, hey, Eric, you should come out to our youth group, our youth gathering. I think it'll help you. And I was like, whoa. I prayed. I said, God, give me a church. Out of nowhere, I mean, like within 1 month, mm-hmm. here's this person that shouldn't even be really talking to me.
Yeah.
My ex-girlfriend's friend. And she's saying, hey, you should come to this group. Mm-hmm. When I went there, what I saw transformed my life.
Really?
What I experienced transformed my life. Because when I went there, I saw people my age, dressed like me, not with the suit and tie or anything, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But they were just dressed like teenagers, like youth, praising God in a way I've never seen before, praying in a way that I've never seen before, fellowshipping in a way that I've never seen before. They began to prophesy over me and tell me things that I knew they should have known, giving me words of knowledge. And I was like, man, this is like X-Men. Like,
that's funny.
Come on.
I was like, this is like X-Men. This is like different. I've never experienced this in my life. Sure. And I was like, I want to be a part of this. God, whatever you're doing here, I want to be a part of it. And that is what sparked that fire in me, where I went in a journey then, one, to get involved. I got involved in that church. I mean, I'm still there to this day. That's my home church.
Cool. That's awesome.
But I joined Holy Spirit group, Freedom group, the men's group.
So you did the work.
Production.
Yeah.
I mean, I went in. But you know, for me it was, man, God was encountering me. You know, I could work. I do believe I'm a good worker. I can get the work done. But for me, it was, man, like I encountered Jesus.
Yeah.
And didn't even fully know it at that time, because the revelation of who Jesus was came a little later, months later.
Yeah.
In that moment, it was just God was encountering me in my bedroom as I was worshiping him. His presence would fall. You know, I started to receive visions about different things that, you know, God wanted me to do or he wanted to do in my heart. You know, I started to get spiritual attacks at night, and I would go to the Bible and I would read, and I would just be a boldness, and things would, you know, like there was no hopelessness.
Yeah.
But then also the pornography addiction, you know, that dominion that sin had over my life, mm-hmm, because of what Jesus did on the cross was broken over me because I believed,
Amen. You
totally. Know?
I believed. I said, God, man, I want you. So this dominion of sin began to also be lifted off of me. So I didn't have this overwhelming thought of I have to masturbate, I have to watch pornography. It
totally.
Was, no, there's a way out.
Yeah, you started living from, right?
Correct.
It's the grace.
Mm-hmm. Total
of God,
grace.
A grace by faith, right? Faith through. And so at the end of the day, I see you kind of like, you're like, I joined this, I went there. Like you surrounded yourself. You started doing everything that really God tells us to do.
Exactly.
Pretty much. And then, for, of course, the it's because we do it opposite. A lot of times people live horizontally, and then they go to God when things don't work.
Right.
But it's living vertically, and mm-hmm, the overflow, it takes care of itself.
That's right.
When you live this way, this takes care of itself, whatever this is.
Yeah.
What it could be your relationships. It could be, you know, your family. It all takes care of itself. Mm. But when you live horizontally and we put Jesus in the back end, right? It's like, I'm going to live like this in my own strength. But then if something goes wrong, I'm going to go like this. So you have no relationship.
Mm.
So most people have it backwards. They seek added things.
Yeah.
And then they seek the kingdom if added things don't work, you know? So what I'm hearing you say is you're like, you joined community. You're having this relationship with Christ, right? You're praying. You're in the Holy Spirit class. You're in this class. So you're learning, getting closer to him. The rest took care of itself. You didn't have to, you know, how am I going to stop masturbating? That took care of itself.
Yeah.
It took care of itself because this, again, this kind of took care of it.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, I mean,
that's cool.
Exactly what happened. I mean,
you're living in the grace. You're in the grace. You're riding the surf. You know, there's like a surfboard with some water and it says grace, and you're like, woo-hoo!
Yeah. Nothing in my own strength. I mean, everything God began to, you know, again, the masturbation, the pornography, the thoughts that I had about being gay within that first
year. That's powerful.
I mean, within that first year, that thought was broken off. And I remember that there was this sermon that was preached at my church about the voice of the devil and then the voice of God. Mm-hmm. I never thought that the devil could be talking to me. Ever.
That's
that was
true. Yeah.
Never.
That's cool.
I mean, like, this is even for you, Pastor. Like, obviously you weren't saved your whole life. But like, this is such an important like revelation that I feel like, so I mean, when I think about it, I'm like, man, like I didn't know that the devil could talk to me. And I was living from, you know, that lie. I was consuming my life and was about to consume my life. And when I heard that sermon about the different voices, I was like, whoa.
Mm.
And I started to identify the voice of the devil in my life. And all of that was shut out. I knew that's not God.
Totally.
Ah, okay, that's not God.
Yeah.
That's totally the devil. And so God began to really, I mean, like you said, right? As I started to live for him and live in relationship with him, everything else began to get resolved. Even when we get to Delafay and how all of that happens, all of that came because of relationship with God. My wife and I started talking 6 months after, 7 months after I prayed that prayer. 6 months after I prayed that prayer, I got baptized. 7 months after I prayed that prayer, I started talking to my now wife. So God literally began to do everything, and I began to boldly testify about what Jesus was doing in my life, because I didn't want people to just think that this is a phase, and you know,
like, yeah, totally.
No. God was transforming my life, mm-hmm. you know, and so I started to boldly testify about what Jesus was doing in my
life.
Come on. And then Delafay eventually was born out of that, of just boldly testifying, you know?
It's good awesome. Stuff, man. So good. I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it because I think we're trying to do Christianity. Like, I think a lot of times when I talk to a lot of people as well, and I think there's a do, like, I'm going to try to be this Christian. And that's not how that works. Like, yeah. I feel like, or do Christian. I'm going to try to do Christianity. It's like, it is the vertical relationship, right? Like, because for me, I don't, like, in my life, obviously, you know, I got saved. And then when I got saved, I'm talking about salvation. You have this encounter with Jesus, right? Nobody had to tell me, like, I learned the words after. Like I was evangelizing, you know, talking to people about Jesus before I even understood what evangelism was. I was kind of doing stuff just out of this. Like, go do that. Oh, okay. Go tell them this. Oh, okay. You know, tithing, all that. Like, I didn't wait till I got out here. It was almost like, this is what you do as a believer, right? So something was happening in my heart, and from my heart, that stuff was just happening. Mm-hmm. So I usually, even throughout my life, even as a pastor, like, we do stuff, and then we actually learn after, like, oh, this is what we were doing. I have a word for it, you know? It's not, here's the word for it, go do it. It's, oh, this is what we were doing, because he keeps, your hearts become intertwined. So you're going to do things, right, out of the, when this is your heart, your mouth speaks, the issues of life come out of your heart. Mm-hmm. So all of that is because that's what your heart is full of. So if I was to empty your heart and refill it, what would come out is, it should always come out. Like, it's, I was talking to somebody yesterday about, because I was trying to explain to him. I was trying to explain to this person vertical relationship, because this person had horizontal, right? So I'm like, hey, no, it's this. And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, if you're connected to, like, you know, those soda machines, it's effortless when you go, and then if it's root beer, 7-Up better not come out, because I'm going to be upset. I'm going to think, hey, there's a problem.
That's right.
Think about it. So you're going to go get the manager. Manager's going to come, and then you're going to be like, hey, I was looking for root beer. I got 7-Up. Yeah. I want root beer. So he's going to look, and he's like, oh, who connected this? You know. So he's going to reconnect it, and then root beer. Like, it's impossible to be connected to Jesus and go, get devil. Like,
right.
And I understand growth and maturity. I'm just saying the overall essence of life, right? I'm not talking about you're going to make a mistake, you're going to stumble, but your life shouldn't constantly be 7-Up. Mm. You're going to say it unless the liquid got low and then you get water. Cool, you got to fill it more. Yeah, you know, you got a new connection when it comes to that. So it's always being filled in the spirit. That's always what's going to come out. We're trying to do God things without having a relationship with God. It's not going to happen. So I love hearing that all these things are happening, not because you're trying to make them happen, but because you're just connected with God. And he's like, do this tomorrow. And so when you do it, it connects to something else. And he always has this awesome plan for our lives. So that's super dope.
Yeah, and I think a couple of things that stuck out, you know, that what you're mentioning with becoming a believer and making that decision is that oftentimes we encounter people who, I mean, it happens with illnesses, right? You want to treat the symptoms. You just want to, oh, okay, well, I don't want to watch pornography anymore. Okay, so I'm going to go do this. Oh, well, I don't want to, you know, be alone anymore. So I'm going to go to church to find, you know, a spouse, or I don't want it, and it's not getting to the root of the problem, and you're just treating these symptoms. And so then you have people walking around and having that fake feeling of, man, this isn't working for me. Nothing's happening.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, okay, cool. You surrounded yourself with people, but you didn't connect yourself to Christ. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you filled your calendar with activities, but you're not spending time alone with Him. Mm-hmm. So
really
when
good.
I hear your testimony, I hear that of the fact that it wasn't to go get a cure or a fix or anything. It was because, you know what, there is a God, and I'm going to get to know Him more. And out of that, the root problem, you know, just sort of was uprooted and came out, you know. Mm-hmm. And another thing that you were sharing, I think that was so powerful of you to share the plot that the enemy had put into your mind.
Oh, that was super powerful.
Because I'm a firm believer that same conversation is spoken over men all of the time.
That's right.
All of the time. And so it's my first time hearing someone articulate it that way, because if, you know, you had not surrendered to Christ, that story is very much the generation that we're in, mm-hmm. very much the identity crisis that we have men and women mm-hmm. fall into, because they're like, oh, well, this happened to me, so it must be why.
True.
You right. know? And so I think there's a lot of people that can relate to that story, and I think it's something that should be said over and over again. Yeah. So, you know, props to you on that. But I think it's just so powerful because, I mean, just in my own personal experience of, you know, living in the world and having a lot of people who lived in, you know, homosexual lifestyle, that was their, if you went down to the root of it, something had happened to them. Somebody had abused them. Somebody had molested them. And it had never been articulated the way that you shared of like, you know what? That's the enemy speaking to you and creating the story and try to tell you, hey, here's the script of your life. This is how it's going to go.
Yeah.
And you have no choice over it. And this is how it is. And so, I mean, you read a book enough, it starts to become real. I mean, that's why you have people, you know, walking totally. Around in characters, and you have all of this. And so just to be able to have the Lord kind of dismantle that script and say, you know what, that's not who you are, that's not who you will be, and that is not at all who I've designed you to be, I think is something for a lot of people to hear. Yeah. And I just give you props for sharing that, because I think you know, more men should talk about that, in my opinion.
That was my first time I heard, like, I guess the just where you went, where like, I know this was the voice, you know, that was trying to get me to believe that narrative of that story, right? Like, I'm like, oh man, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know what? From now, right? From the moment, you're probably struggling, you know, in your mind, all kinds of stuff
it's
before.
Torment.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Yeah,
torment.
You took the app. He tried to go, here, bite this apple, and you were like, I don't want it. You know, you didn't get to bite it.
So how
digest.
Old are you now?
28.
Oh, wow. Okay,
turning 29.
Come on, you're looking like you're 23.
Yes, sir.
That's awesome.
So, okay, you go through all that. How do you wind up where you're at now? Like, in the sense of like Delafay and all that. Like, what happens to where
Revelation
you're
12:11.
Okay.
So I shared my testimony with my mom, and with my dad. The first person I shared it with was with my wife. She was my girlfriend at the time. And when we started talking, we were long distance, and she was here in Houston, and I was in Maryland.
Hey, Stan, that's how, you know.
Yes, sir. This is home.
She's on the sidelines going like that and everything.
Yeah. Yep. So I just, you know, I want it to be real. And so I shared with my then girlfriend what had happened in my life. This is what happened. At 5 years old, at 10 years old, at 12 years old, at 14 years old, all of this happened. And when she heard it, she didn't judge me.
Yeah.
She didn't say, whoa. Okay, well, you didn't have to share all of that, you know. But she was like just very empathetic.
That's
and
dope.
She made a safe place for me. And I said, whoa, like this is amazing. I believe that moment honestly, I don't have too much recollection of it, but when I think about it now, that had to give me a lot of motivation.
Oh, all day long. How good is it to the release, right?
To share
everything
it with
has pressure. Mm-hmm. When you release it, yeah, it's like finally I can tell somebody and not.
It's the healing, it went well. Rejection. With our brothers and sisters, you know?
Yes.
Like, if you're dating, she's your sister in Christ, you know?
So exactly.
That healing power comes in, and like you said, the shame is gone.
I mean, it was amazing. So then I shared it with my pastor. I was like, I got to share it with my pastor because he's the next person that I have to share it with. So I set up a meeting and I was like, oh, man, he's never heard anything like this. Like, this is the worst thing he's ever heard in his life. Like, ain't nobody gone through this, you know? I'm really thinking this in my head.
And so wild power of the thought, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, it's the lie of the devil. Because he wants you to think that you are the worst, that what you have done is the worst thing possible. So I walk into his office and I sit down on his chair and I say, okay, Pastor, I got to share with you, you know, just my testimony, what's happened in my life. And I share it. Boom, 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 boom. He looks at me and he says, Eric, you'd be surprised. I'm going to paint a picture here. So we're at his office here in the house, and then the church is right next to it. It's like a little trailer.
Yes.
It's a very small church, beautiful church. And is right here, and his office is right here, and there's a window where I can see the church, you know, the building. And so I'm sitting in his office, and I tell him all of this, and he says, Eric, you would be surprised how many people have sat in that same chair and have told me the same thing. And for some reason, I looked at that window, and I saw the church, and I knew he wasn't talking about people in the streets. He was talking about people in the church.
Yeah.
I knew that the people that were sitting on that chair, they had to be in the church. That's why they would feel comfortable to even come talk to him.
Yeah.
So I knew that people in the church had also been molested. And I just didn't know about it. And I thought I was the only one. Mm-hmm. So then I shared it. I told Pastor, I said, should I share it with my mom and dad before I share it publicly? He said, yeah, I'll do that. I would do that. So
yeah,
I shared it with my mom. And my mom was heartbroken. She didn't know what to do. She had no clue. But we talked about it. I was able to tell her, encourage her. I said, Mom, it's okay. Like, I have Jesus in my life. He's healing me. He's restoring me. I have a testimony. It's okay. So it was no longer like, you know, this is what happened. And, you know, well, I'll just deal with it. It's like, no. Jesus is dealing with it. So I was happy to, I had the conversation with my mom. I had the conversation with my dad. With my dad, it's something that is still unfolding. He himself has been through abuse in his life, and he's still dealing with it. So that transparency wasn't fully there. And so I believe the Lord will provide a time for us to go deeper. But he also didn't fully, he was surprised as well, and he was heartbroken by it as well. And then I shared it publicly online. When I shared it publicly online, that's when the people from the church started to come up to me and say, I've also been sexually molested. Mm. There was a 16, 15-year-old girl that came up to me and she said, I've been molested as well. Nobody knows. There was like a 40-plus or 50-year-old man that came up to me and said, I've also been through that. And Jesus, man, he saved me. He's restored me. So I got to see both sides. I got to see people that are still in that shame and that darkness. And then I got to see people that also have been healed and restored by Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then I had the worship leader at my church came up to me. And at some point in some conversation, she said, Eric, have you read Revelation 12:11? I was like, no. I wasn't even really reading the Bible like that, honestly, at that time. It was all grace. I mean, it was total grace. And she said, so I opened it up and she highlighted that verse to me and said that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. For we didn't love our lives. And this is the translation I like.
Yeah.
It says, for we didn't love our lives so much that we were afraid to die. Mm-hmm. And when I saw that verse, to me, honestly, and this is, you know, I want everybody to also get this. That to me was a formula of how the devil is defeated. It is a formula of how the devil is defeated. It's in the book of Revelation. It's a prophecy. Is to come, right? And it says, Jesus literally tells us, this is how you overcome the devil. Mm-hmm. By what I did on the cross, the shedding of my blood, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and the testifying of what Jesus did on the cross. And to me, that was like, whoa, this is it. Like, if we're going to war, if we're at war, and you're telling me somebody just came over and said, hey, this is how you defeat them. Mm-hmm. And, you know what I mean? I couldn't just look at that and be like, oh, okay.
That's fire.
It was like, yo, we need to do this. That's what we need to do. We need to share the gospel. I thought that was you.
It was
no at first, but then later I was like, man, that's really good. I was like, I'm gonna let you do that.
Yeah, you dropped the bomb.
Yeah. No, but total fresh revelation of that verse, and I was like, man, I want to do that. I want to be a part of that. Because then I started Googling, YouTubing, and I wasn't seeing a lot of testimonies. I saw testimonies, but I saw that there was a space. And the Holy Spirit was showing me that there was room for us to share more testimonies in a different way, you know, which is the way that I explained earlier, transparent, honest, vulnerable.
Yeah.
Not with a lot of, you know, bells and whistles, whistles, just something simple. And through that verse is where then Delafay was born. Through, you know, it was a process. Of God, I don't know, or
because you didn't even know how to run a camera or nothing, right?
I did.
Oh, you did.
I didn't know how to run a camera. I had no interest though in lights. I had no interest in going into film. No interest in doing anything really with cameras. Yeah. I just picked up a camera because it is a key. I knew that it was a key to a door, you know, and so that's the only reason I picked up a camera. And then God obviously made it very clear as to why that had happened.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
And so that's how we started then recording testimonies. God began to use all of that to be able to glorify him. And Revelation 12:11, making that come alive so that everybody in the world can see about what Jesus is doing throughout the world.
It's really good.
So that's our mission, man. We want to get people on fire to share their testimony. There's a lot of people in churches right now that are not sharing their testimony. That's totally the work of the devil.
So how do they do that? If somebody wants to share their testimony, what do they do?
You tell them about how you came to believe this crazy story Jesus came into your life.
Because I know you, if somebody wanted to share it on Delafay, what do they do? How do they contact you?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they basically go on the website. Right now they can't submit their testimony because we kind of closed open submissions.
Okay.
And we're just going through people that we know for the next couple of months.
Yep.
And then in May we'll reopen it again. But testimony, sharing testimony. I love what Paul did, you know. Paul shared his life before Jesus. He was a murderer, right? Yeah. He saw Christians be murdered. He allowed it. Then he also had an encounter, you know, with the living God. He saw Jesus, he would share that. And even in his life before, he would share also how he was an educated man and grew up in this and grew up in that.
Totally.
And then he shares his encounter of seeing Jesus and what Jesus told him and how that transformed, you know, being blind and then spending some time not being able to see, somebody prayed over him. That whole encounter of coming to know Jesus. Mm. And then he also shares the life after. And that unfolds through multiple letters of what he is doing for the gospel, preaching the gospel, boldly testifying. You know, we see different moments where he was even stoned and he was beat up and all of these different things. And so that's what we look at in a testimony is the life before, that encounter with Jesus, and the life after.
It's really good.
Of what Jesus has done.
Come on.
And so that's a basic layout of testimony that we focus on. But it can also vary because some people, I'm learning this, Pastor Juan, this is new to me, is that some people genuinely encountered Jesus at 3-4 years old.
Really?
Like genuinely. I've been, you know, really sitting with this. There's genuinely people that have encountered Jesus, have experienced the conviction of sin, a desire to fully surrender their lives at that young age.
Wow.
And that's been a little bit mind-boggling to me because I'm like, well, what is your life before? But then I start to realize that obviously they're in a sanctification process. They're in a process forever with God. And so even though they grew up in church, And they experience Jesus at an early age, they still have seasons of depression.
Yeah.
They still have seasons of anxiety. They still have seasons of self-image problems. And so there is still a before, a Jesus coming and speaking into that, and then an after, you know? And so it always sticks, but it's those stories have been interesting to hear.
Okay, so let's share some final words. Like if you had, you know, somebody is out there right now and... maybe they've been through some of the same things you talked about. Maybe they're hearing the voice and they're thinking, man, you know, I've been living a homosexual lifestyle, or you know, I that happened to me, but I did hear the voice. What are some steps that maybe, or what would you say to that person for them to maybe have the same encounter you did?
Yeah, turn to God. You know, this big word, repent. You know, we hear that all the time. Repent, 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 repent. Just, I mean, it's turning to God.
Changing your mind, yeah.
Yeah, just turn to God. Change your mind about who God is, you know? We do all of these different things because we don't really look at God as God. It's the creator of the universe, you know, who created us. And so, repent, turn to God, you know? Ask him to reveal himself to you. I mean, Pastor Juan, I know that you know you can't make anybody believe.
Yeah.
You could preach all day until you can't no more. And you know you can't make anybody believe.
Yeah.
It has to be the Holy Spirit.
Totally.
It has to be the Father drawing us to himself.
Yeah.
And so I would tell anybody, whatever they're going through, is, man, repent. Turn to God. Ask God to reveal himself to you. You know, recognize that you are dirty, you know, recognize that you are sinful. Sin, very big word as well. But sin is, the Bible says, sin is lawlessness.
Yeah, missing the mark, right?
Yeah, sin is lawlessness. You've broke God's law. You've broke one of God's law, whether it was lying, whether it was stealing, being disrespectful to your parents, whatever the case may be, whether it was murder, whatever. You have broken God's law at some point. And the Bible says if you broke one,
you broke them all.
You broke them all. So you are sinful. You are dirty in the eyes of God because he's holy. He's completely clean. So we have to recognize that. We have to recognize, man, I'm dirty. Yeah. Lord, help me. Reveal yourself to me. Save me. And I believe through a prayer like that, through just really being honest with God, that same salvation that I've experienced, that you've experienced, that people in this room have experienced, they can also receive it because it's free, a free gift through what Jesus did on the cross. That, and this is what we've been talking about, then you start to live off from that, you know, that vertical space where it's just you and God. Man, you just live in relationship with Jesus because of what he did on the cross.
Yes.
And then everything else begins to work itself out. It's not easy. It's not always easy. But man, we have grace. Grace, the power of God to accomplish God's will.
So good.
You know?
Yeah.
So I would say that.
Man, I want to thank you so much. When you say your website, what's your website?
MissionDelaFe.org, MissionDelaFe, DelaFe.org.
Man, I want to thank you. I also want to thank your wife for, you know, joining us and kind of supporting and sitting there and supporting you and bringing you here. So,
and one last thing, Pastor Juan, we're also on the Pando app. I know you guys are heavy on the Pando app.
Yeah.
And so we're on the Pando app. And so if you're on the Pando app, you can also find us there. And that's been amazing to see what God is doing in prison.
Yeah, I love that.
And so I love you guys for also putting the time in and really pouring into that community. I know you guys have been doing it for a little while now,
we're passionate about it, man. They say, hey, you have you know, prison ministry. I go, my prison ministry is out here too. I go, I'm setting the catches free, baby. Like, that's, it's right. Not, it's just a ocean over there. It's like a fishing in Alaska over there, because there's a lot of fish. You know, but they're out here. A lot of people are incarcerated out here, which is interesting. Right. And incarcerated with the bars they've placed around their heart.
That's right.
And so we want to thank all the real ones. We want to thank our partner, ISI, for partnering with us and helping us continually do what we do. You guys are amazing. Remember, real people, real problems, real solutions. Peace.
And that's a wrap.
Thank you. This is Real Family for joining us. You can be a part of the crew by following us on social media or writing us at PO Box 671-626, Houston, Texas, 77267.
And don't forget, stay real.